Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Thank God. Aren't you glad to live in a nation that's free? What a blessing. I want to talk to you this morning about the freedom we enjoy in this country, where it comes from, our responsibility with it, and the price of it. And not just in a nation among men and women, but our freedom that we get from God. And so I want to talk to you just today about the freedoms that we enjoy. And as Christians, how we should approach this in a nation that is turning in a way that is kind of frightening. You know, the wonderful thing about freedom is that it gives you a choice. The dangerous thing about freedom is that it gives you a choice. And I want to talk to you about the role that you play as a Christian in watching the freedoms that you've been and we've been privileged to have in this nation used in such a way in your life and my life to actually better the world that we live in. Many of you, like Michelle and I, have spent time or lived in nations where they're not free and where people are suffering terribly because of the oppressiveness of governance that strips the freedoms of people. We've lived in nations and among people where children are actually starving to death because they're from a part of the region that the government is trying to make them lose power. So you're with children with their belly swollen and their hair falling out and turning orange. And if you've never lived among that or seen the unimaginable desperation when people are not free as a nation, it's unbelievable. And so today, as we talk about freedom, I want to talk about it from three perspectives: the origin of freedom, the price of freedom, and then the responsibility of the freed. So let's start with the origin of freedom as a Christian. Our freedom doesn't come from anything we have done to make God set us free. It's not by our religious practices or our going to church or having received the church sacrament or being a good person or doing goodwill or good deeds or giving to the poor. Jesus told us where our freedom comes from. It doesn't come from a set of beliefs that a group of people commit to. It comes from a person. God made flesh through the birth of a virgin. A virgin giving birth to the Son of God so that he could pay the debt that none of us could pay. So that the penalty for sin could be born. A God of righteousness and judgment judged us guilty. And then his mercy, the Bible said, boasted against his judgment. And he came himself and bore the penalty that he placed upon us himself. And then offers to every human being on planet Earth the free gift of eternal life by receiving Christ into their life. Not a religion, not a dead person in a tomb, but a living Savior who rose from the dead, conquered death, and offers eternal life. And so Jesus said it this way about himself in John 8:36. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Man, I'm telling you, he said it this way. He said, "Listen, I've come to make men and women free. And when you receive me, let me tell you something. You're not just free. You're free indeed. You are totally free." That's why again and again and again and again and again, you will hear me say how critically important it is. And my hope today is you'll actually see a greater importance of God's people, the local church, and the earth. The only hope of the world is God's people. Because Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. You are a city on the hill. You are the salt of the earth, the preservative of the earth." There is no other hope. There is no other hope than God's people being God's people. That's why again and again I tell you that this church exists so that you can know God, not religion. You can know God intimately and personally. You can find freedom. That is, you can live beyond your past, that your yesterdays no longer demand and dictate your tomorrows, that you can then discover a purpose beyond your own wants, your own needs, your own happiness, your own pleasures. Discover a purpose that you live beyond yourself, not just in this life, but even in the life to come. And then lastly, that you can make an impact with your life. Because that beats in the soul of every human being that knows God or doesn't know God. But I want to talk to you today about the origin, not just with God, but with man. And when it comes to freedom. In this nation, the freedoms that we enjoy, our founders, when they did what we just celebrated on July 4th, the Declaration of Independence, there were no parties on that day. That was a declaration day. They were declaring something forth that they believed. And I want you to see what they were declaring about the freedoms that they were pronouncing that they were going to enjoy, and they would, for their posterity, create a place where we could enjoy. This is from the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founders started us by understanding the rights that you would enjoy in the nation that they were going to be willing to die to form and remove from the tyranny of England's, the King of England and the overwhelming tax and no representation. And they were willing to give their life for this, but they made it very clear that these are unalienable rights. Unalienable means they cannot be taken away by man because man didn't give them. They started with the very outset of saying, the rights that we are going to tell heretofore are rights that are endowed to you by your Creator. You see, in our world that we live in today, there's a very dangerous things very, very dangerous belief system happening in the next generation. And not even the next generation, but the current one. Not so young, some old. And it's not because the next generation are amazing young men and women, and particularly those that are Christians that are walking with God in this ever darkening world. There's an amazing generation of young men and women. But we in this nation we have to be very careful, because if you ask the average person, if you went on the average college campus, and I would suggest if you ask the average college professor, from where do your rights emerge in this nation, they would tell you the government gives you your rights. But that's not what the founders said. The founders said the government does not give you your rights. Your God gave you these unalienable rights. Why is that important? Because if you believe the government is giving you your rights, then you believe the government has the right to take them away. And there's a very dangerous thing happening right now in this nation, that we celebrate our freedom, but we don't understand that it hangs right on the precipice of people walking away from it and not understanding how easily these things can be lost. There's a generation of people being trained today, and I would say it this way, to be deceived, to trust government and reject God. And it is a full force. To trust government and to reject God. To make God, make the government now your God, your provider. And I pray you understand this, and I'm going to give it some context. Are you saying today we shouldn't trust the government? I'm telling you it is your right, it is your privilege, it is your responsibility not to trust the government. Period. It is your responsibility. You say, well, that's anarchy. No. Remember, the founders of this nation were removing themselves from tyranny. And they set the Constitution, finally, to a place. They set our form of governance based on the mistrust of people in power. They said, we don't want anybody to be trusted. So we're going to set three branches of equal power in government so that we'll never have a king again. And government was designed to be slow in its ability to do things. That's why federalized, and our federal government was limited to a certain scope of activity for interstate commerce and national defense. Because any other thing that government tries to do, the wheels turn so slowly, but they're turning slowly by design. Because government was never designed to solve problems, you were designed to solve problems in this nation. But there's been a flip, that we're going to trust government now. You're saying everybody in government, you're saying that they're crooked? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. The very people who ran the government said, don't trust us. That's how the nation was founded. There's a dangerous thing happening now. Where, and this is not based on political party, because whatever political stripe you are, I think we can all say pretty honestly that very often what politicians are telling us are not so much for our good, but for theirs. I would suggest to you that any group of people that run up $21 trillion in debt to maintain their power base so that they can stay where, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this. $21 trillion of debt. What parent would take their children? Can you imagine my kids coming at my deathbed? Dad, we're going to miss you. And I said, well, you have no idea. What I've left you all is about $40 million in debt, and you're required to pay it. What parent would do that to their child? Please understand this, and I'm not pointing to any one party or one person, but there's about 3,600 people running for the Democrat nomination for president, so this can be very vague, okay? But when I listen to them and others, they tell me everything they're going to give away. I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this. Need your back scratched? I can do that. Massage? Free. Why? Because Jesus said it very clearly. They will exercise authority over you while calling themselves your benefactor. Now, I'm just going to, these are actual numbers. I'm not telling you whose they are, but these are readily available. And just, if you read, if you just do a little bit of research, this is the giving record of just five of people running right now that are top tier candidates for the party's nomination. One of them gave 1/3 of 1% of their income to charity. Another gave 1.9, 1.4, 1.9. And this rascal gave $369 in average over a 10-year period of time. And now they're telling me how much they're going to give. You know what that's called? Hypocrisy. Don't tell me what you're going to give when you don't give nothing. Did I say that out loud in church? Why am I telling you that? Because it shows you don't trust government. Now you say, well, this is a happy July 4th message. There's a reason I'm laying this out. Because we live in a world today that we don't know the difference between freedom of religion and freedom from religion. We're being told over and over again for any public person, any person even in public office who lets their personal beliefs impact their private policy, that's wrong. You should never let your beliefs, your religious beliefs even, impact your public policy. Well, whose beliefs should impact your public policy? What are you, a mannequin? Do you have no character? Are they beliefs to you, or are they just subjective? If they're subjective, they're not beliefs. I'm trying to say to you that we live in a world today that is absolutely trying to make government our God. And government is a lousy, stinking God, a stinking, lousy parent, and a worse provider. It is not designed and never has been designed to do that for humanity. And when government becomes the provider, it traps people in permanent poverty. It doesn't mean the intentions aren't good. I'm not questioning intentions. I have no right to do that. But intentions are worthless if you're the outcome and I'm the one that ends up in your prison. Our founders said, don't trust government, trust God. Our founders throughout the beginning, the so-called separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. It was a verbiage used by Jefferson referring to the First Amendment. Well, yeah, you can't have your private beliefs impact your public policy, the separation of church and state. That's called a separation of your heart from your life. That's called hypocrisy. Let me read the First Amendment to you, and you see, this is what it says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You understand the First Amendment is a prohibition on the government, not the governed. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances. It has nothing to do with separation of church and state. The separation of church and state is to protect the people who are Godward from the state, not the state from the people. The government is to be the representative of the people. So if the people have a Godward heart, then the government should reflect that heart. Let me just show you just some statements. In fact, this is from Thomas Jefferson, who Jefferson, by the way, did not claim to be a Christian. My understanding, he claimed to be a deist, along with Ben Franklin. Others proclaimed to be Christians. There was no state religion, nor should there be a state religion. But listen to what Jefferson said, the so-called person who's being tagged with, you should never let your private beliefs, your beliefs toward God impact in any way your public policy. It's like me saying to you, listen, I personally wouldn't steal, but I don't want to impose that on you. You steal all you want. My father, when I was growing up, look, I'm a steelworker's kid. And I grew up with a very blunt father. And he looked at me at times and you can't say some of these things in church, but he grabbed me, not like this where you have leverage. I was 14 years old. And he never punched me, hit me. I mean, we got some paddlings as kids, but I mean, I thought he wanted to kill me. He never did, but he didn't grab me like this where you had leverage. I was about 14. He grabbed me like this and went, and my legs are dangling. And he looked at me and he said, boy, do I look like your friend? I'm your father. And he began to, at times he did, he said, keep your word, boy. You keep your word. You have character, boy. I don't care if everybody's going in one direction. You keep your word. That's all you got. And he said it in other ways, you know, I just won't repeat in church. And then this was my special one I got from him, because his name was John Nuzzo. And you got my name. So it's worse for you. I'm watching you. It's a frightening thing when a politician says, I have personal beliefs, but they don't impact the way I live. How nuts is that? It's like, baby, you know, I have personal beliefs about fidelity and marriage, but they don't impact the way I live. I just, you know, she was pretty, baby. Yeah, come to my funeral, okay? So listen to what Jefferson said. Can these liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? They are not to be violated but with his wrath. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. John Adams said this, the highest story of the American Revolution is this. These are not people with opinions, these are the founders. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Noah Webster said, the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. Franklin said, he who shall introduce into the public affairs, this is Ben Franklin, public affairs, the principles of primitive Christianity will change the face of the world. And that's exactly what this nation did. Franklin also said, at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this. These are the folks that were writing it. I can't find that separation. Quincy Adams said, the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence are the general principles of Christianity. Washington's first inaugural address, some 13 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Listen to what he said in his address to both houses of Congress. Such being the impressions under which I have in obedience to the public summons, or his call to office, repaired to this present station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act that my fervent supplications to that almighty being, well, where's that separation thing? Who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, whose providential aids can supply every human defect. Aren't you glad that God can supply your human defect? That his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States. Goes on to say this, every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. Here's what he said in his first inaugural address. God did this. Human defect everywhere. This nation is born of freedom, which is born of God. The freedom that you enjoy and I enjoy didn't come from a political party, and God knows it didn't come from the media. I don't care what your stripe is. That's stupid. I went to journalism school. I'm the provider of the First Amendment. No, you're the beneficiary of the First Amendment. That's another story. But the reality of it is this. The reason this nation is free is because the heart of God is for men to be free. And every freedom we enjoy in this nation is a result of the proclamation of Jesus that I want human beings free. And so the government of which have been established in this nation was born out of those principles. There's a price, though, with freedom. And there's been an incredible price for your freedom and my freedom with God. Ephesians 1:7, God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. What a price. We didn't come cheaply. God's own Son bore the price of my sin by dying the criminal's death that was due me. But there's also a price for freedom with men. When the writers and the framers of the Declaration of Independence wrote the Declaration of Independence, the very last paragraph, they pointed to God and to the price they were willing to pay. There was a price for freedom. And listen to what the last paragraph says in the Declaration of Independence. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. God's in our founding documents. You either have to be absolutely, utterly brainwashed and deceived or dishonest to not read these things and realize that separation of church and state had nothing to do with a person living who they were before God and before men. Appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. They are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. That as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may do. And for the support of this declaration, we're going to go to a political party. No. We're going to go to somebody who has an education. No. For the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The price of freedom to them was they would depend on God as they knew him, and that they would be willing to give everything they owned, everything they had, even their very lives for this declaration of independence. It was not a day of independence, it was a declaration of independence. Every time you proclaim what Jesus did for you, in spite of what you see, and fight the good fight of faith, you are making a declaration of independence. We celebrate July 4th with fireworks and fun, but there was no fun when this declaration was made. There was a war to follow because the enemy, if you will, England, they didn't let go very easily, did they? And this declaration had to be backed up with blood and with will and with honor. And so it takes me to the last point I want to make with you today is this. What is the responsibility of the freed? Why is it that our founders were so adamant about the way the population who would be freed to choose would live their lives? Because they knew that in the power of freedom could be the power to choose for the benefit of the whole and the benefit of others or the benefit of self. So now we've degenerated to where the way you get elected is telling me what you will give me for free. That I will acquire your vote by you telling me, I'll give you this. You don't have to work. I'll take you there. I'll bring you here because I'm benevolent. I don't give anything ever myself, but I'm benevolent with your money. It's crazy. There is a responsibility of the freed. Now listen to what James Madison said, one of the founders. This is what they believed about the freedoms that we enjoy today. And when I tell you the responsibility of the freed, I want to take you finally to the responsibility as we, the people of God. Because government can't do what Madison was concerned about. Only God's people, by bringing the light of the world, Jesus to people, can change the heart of men and women. Well, I don't like this country. It's not the fault of government. Government's a reflection of the people. It's the impotence of the church. Not being Jesus in the earth with skin. Madison said this, we have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves and sustain ourselves according to the Republican Party's platform, the Democrat Party platform, capitalism, socialism. No. According to the Ten Commandments of God. What's he saying? That if people do not know how to live their lives in honor to God, they will become self-focused. And a self-governing people will destroy themselves. No nation has ever survived. Ever survived. No culture has ever survived. the level of rot morally that's occurring in this nation. And it's not happening in secret. It's happening in celebration. I don't have time to teach this, but you can understand this. The Bible tells you that there is a curb to the work and destruction of sin. It's called death. It eventually kills whatever it touches. And this nation is running headlong into a place of destruction, not the judgment of God, but the outcome of the absence of his presence by choice. So what's our responsibility as the freed? See, the greatest attribute, I believe, of the image of God in man is self-will and choice. We're made in the likeness and image of God. Free will, the ability to choose. Nothing in creation has. And even there's a move afoot today to equate man with animals. We're no more important than animals. Yes, we are. That's why we eat them. Nuts. Well, I'm a vegan and I would never eat anything with a face. Enjoy your broccoli. Jesus ate fish and they have a face. Jesus ate lamb. Bah, they have a face. Eat whatever you want or don't eat whatever you want. But the reality of it is, this is so critically important, that we are made in the likeness and image of God. Animals have no choice. They live by instinct. And when you make anything but God your governance, anything but God the director of your heart, you will begin to live by, like as the Bible calls, as a brute beast, living by the basest instincts of humanity. Not only are those basest instincts taken over our culture, they are being celebrated and lauded like some good thing is happening. And as Christians, we have to understand, we not only have a responsibility before God, we have a responsibility to the people of this nation to live our lives to reflect the heart of Jesus in the earth. People say this to me a lot because they make a lot of conclusions of Christians, and I've had people do it for me as well. And when they discuss with me, they find out I don't have half the beliefs they think I do. But again and again, people have said this to me. You're going to be on the wrong side of history. You're going to be on the wrong side of history. Can I tell you, my job as a Christian is not to get you on the right side of history, but the right side of eternity. That's my job, and that's your job. History is replete with people who shook their finger at a mighty God, who today are in graves, and their philosophies and their lifestyles have rotted with them. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the all-knowing being who never, ever changes. And Christians, we are told to live toward him, that which is eternal, not that which is temporary. Don't be so concerned about the wrong side of history. Be concerned about the wrong side of eternity. Patrick Henry said this, "Whether this new government will prove a blessing or a curse will depend upon the use our people make of the blessing which a gracious God has bestowed upon us. If they are wise, they will be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone can exalt them as a nation." He's quoting Proverbs. Reader, wherever you are, remember this. In your sphere, practice virtue yourself and encourage it in others. Is he just talking about being a religious person? No, he's talking about being self-governed. Our whole political institutions rely upon the people being governed. Self-governed, not governed by the state. James Madison finally said this, "Before any man can be considered a member of a civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe." These are the words of our founders. Now, in the freedoms that we enjoy, you can point your finger at God and curse him. You can run for office and do that, and in some places maybe even get elected. You have every right to do that, and that person has every right to represent those people in our form of government. But Christians' voices are being silenced in the name of separation of church and state, which does not exist in that context. Christians' voices are being silenced because they're told that what they believe should not influence how they live. I don't know of a more idiotic, stupid statement on planet Earth that somebody who's going to represent me, I said, "Well, what are you going to represent me with? What do you believe?" It's not important. What is important? Well, whatever I need to do to stay elected. And say it in a way that you won't be mad and you won't be mad. My father had words that I can't use in church. Let me just say it this way. Have a backbone, son. He used other language, but I won't say these things in the house of Jesus or anywhere because they were quite blunt. The Bible says, quit ye like men. It means stand up and be loyal to the God who's died for you. So what is the responsibility of the freed before God? Galatians 5:13 says this. You, my brothers, my sisters, you are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge just the sinful nature. Rather, listen, serve one another in love. The entire law of God is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's our command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Every human being with breath in their lungs, whether they agree with you or disagree with you. I have no political opponents because I'm not a politician. Everybody on planet Earth is the object of my affection and the object of my love. For God loved every human being on planet Earth so much, He died for them. And if there is any good in me, it's because I've been rescued out of a place of darkness and sin by the mercy and grace of God. I am not better than anybody. The only difference between me and anybody in darkness is Jesus. That's it. My only responsibility to those without Christ is to bring Christ to them. And yet most Christians live and die and never love the people around them enough to bring them to a Savior who will rescue them eternally. My responsibility is not for you to like me or to hate me or to say things on Facebook to position one person against another. My heart's desire, God's heart for all of us, is that we would love people like we wish somebody would have loved us. I'm so glad people reached out to me when I was in the dark. They didn't just point their fingers at me and tell me how worthless I was. That they brought Jesus to me, the Savior of the world. He changed my life. July 4th is a declaration of freedom. And every one of us as Christians are called to make the same declarations. But there's no fireworks the day you make the declaration. There aren't any. There's no fireworks. The fireworks only happen after the battles. And it's a result of the battles that you win and the battles you fight. Next weekend, Saturday, July 13th, is a serve day where we have projects all over this region available to every person in this church to go serve somewhere. If begging would help, I beg you to give your life away on purpose for something that doesn't benefit you. Oh, I'm too busy doing that. That's when my son has to go to his learning how to be a Major League Baseball practice with his trainer. Are you kidding me? Miss the trainer and teach your son to serve. He will be better off serving than batting. And not to offend anybody, but he's not playing in the major leagues by statistics. Just a thought. Maybe get a college degree. Maybe he'll get a scholarship. God bless you. But can I tell you this? Nobody ever went into marriage with a batting average. Saying, baby, but here's my batting average. Okay, that's marriage for another day. Everybody in the kingdom is called to be a kingdom builder. Every one of us. Kingdom builders in this church is a giving mechanism by which we do three things very intentionally. That we bring Christ to our world. We meet needs throughout our world globally. Then we do so in the local church expansion in our nation. By local church, I just don't mean churches. I mean the movement of God's people in our own nation. And thirdly, kingdom builders is raising up the next generation of Christian leaders and investing in them. Because the only hope of this world is Jesus. And the only hope of this world is Jesus' people, the body of Christ, being Christ in the earth. Darkness is nothing great. It's just the absence of light. That's all it is. And when the light shows up, darkness, there's no argument when you turn the light switch on. Darkness doesn't stick in the middle of the room and say, I'm not leaving. It goes. Jesus didn't say he alone was the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. Don't put a bushel over that candle, he said. Don't do it. For some of you, if you were here last week, you expressed and stepped into a first step of a calling on your life. I want to encourage every one of you who feel any type of calling that you're not sure of or you are sure of to invest time in developing that calling. Not just for your master's degree to get a better job and greater pay, but invest in your heart before just your head. The Waymaker School of Ministry is a day program, and most people of any age, if you will, and responsibility can't take off work and go to school during the day. But we're starting the Waymaker School of Ministry this fall. It's an evening program on Tuesday nights. I and Pastor Steve are doing the teaching. And it is a designed, it is literally designed to help you discover and step by faith through grace into your calling, understanding biblical forms of leadership. And I will not be talking about theory. I will be talking to you how a steelworker's kid listened to God and God hear. That's not a theory. It is a fact. And to God be the glory because of his mercy and grace. And the same God who can grace me for my path can grace you for yours. And I want you to learn how to do that. There's an application process. If you have that calling in your life, Jesus, the scripture tells us our only command is to love others just like we would love ourselves. Aren't you glad somebody invested in their soul that brought you to Christ? You are that person for someone else. I want to pray for everybody here today. I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for our leaders, whether you agree or disagree with them. Paul wrote to Timothy and he told us to pray over our leaders. And whether you agree or disagree with them. And in that case, and in that environment, they were praying over the Roman government, which of course you couldn't necessarily agree with. Because if our leaders, he said, would be Godward, if God would move and fashion the affairs of men, then you could live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're going to pray for our nation. I'm going to pray for every one of us today. As a Christian, quit ye like men. Be strong. Don't be against anybody. But don't let your values switch in the wind because somebody has an opinion. Jesus died for everybody. And God made man in his image. And man returned the favor and now is trying to make God in his image. Which God will you serve? The God fashioned in the fire of culture, like Aaron fashioned the molten calf and they began to worship it? Or you worship the God who spoke to Moses on the mountain, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega? Don't be so concerned about the wrong side of history. Dear one, please be concerned about the wrong side of eternity, not just for you, but a world today that every human being you know will be in heaven or will be in hell in a period of years. Well, I don't like that. Neither did God. That's why Jesus came and died. It's our job. It's our privilege. The responsibility of the freed is to go back into the very crevice that God pulled you out of and pull others out. So I want you to know these next several weeks, next weekend, I'm going to share with you the things that I've been holding on to for 25 years. I've been declaring things for 25 years. And I could never see how it could happen. But why would you keep declaring it? Because you don't make declarations based on how you feel. You make declarations in humility before God because he puts it in your soul. And things have now begun to happen that are so supernatural. And I've not shared these things publicly. Next week, I'm going to share with you some of the backstory of things that are happening right now because I declare to you, listen to me, please. I'm declaring to you by faith, and you watch, it's going to come to pass, not apart from you, but through you, that there will be a great awakening again in the Northeast. As in days of old, there'll be a great awakening in this nation where the gospel of Jesus Christ will sweep this nation, and men and women bound in darkness will be made free by a Savior. Not to a political party, but to a Savior. And God has given us a plan and a purpose. And I'm telling you, it is so remarkable that in the next 10 to 15 years, that we multiply thousands of churches, either started or revitalized in the Northeast. And it will come to pass. And it will be nothing short of a great awakening. Life-giving churches. I'm telling you guys, there's some amazing things. And I'll be sharing it with you next week. The following weekend, Dino Rizzo is going to be here. How many of you guys have ever heard of Dino Rizzo? Wave at me. How many of you have never heard of Dino Rizzo? YouTube Dino Rizzo. He is hysterical, but he's actually the person who has launched Serve Day around the nation. One of the best speakers you'll ever hear in your life. God's used this man around the world. And I'll tell you, we're so honored to have him here. Make sure you don't miss Dino Rizzo. And then the following week, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and how to be filled with his presence and his spirit. These are not days to live in the dark or in the shadows. These are days to walk in the light. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. We are so grateful to live in a free nation. And Father, I thank you so much. We are so grateful that you brought us freedom and the price you paid for it. And Lord, we step into the responsibility of being freed and loving our brother, loving our neighbor even as ourselves. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that you would speak so deeply in their heart and their soul that they also can make declarations of independence in their personal life with you, but then also in the purpose of their life for others. And by faith, we declare over our nation there will be a great awakening in this nation, that the Northeast will thrive and the power of God will surge and churches will explode throughout the Northeast. It will not be a graveyard for churches, but a birthplace. And I say that declaration for 25 years, and now by faith, I see it coming to pass. Thank you for that. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders in every form of government, local, state, federal. Leaders, whether we agree or disagree, we pray for them, that you would bless them with your wisdom, that they would lead in a way that would honor you and not a broken, sin-stained, hell-bound culture, that they would be so convicted and convinced of their heart of who you are, that they would seek to please you and not men. And Lord, we trust that as you do that, that we will live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ will have free course to be preached throughout the earth. We pray for our nation. And Lord, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice that they might know you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or perhaps you're watching online, you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I trust you are. But you don't go to heaven because you're good. You go to heaven because of a Savior. Church won't get you there. Not this church. Not any church. Not a sacrament, baptism, confession, confirmation. There is no sacrament of any church, including this church, that can make you right with God. Only by you acknowledging that you're a sin stain and you cannot rectify that stain on your own. That only by receiving the only begotten Son of God into your life, that stain can be removed, because he's the only one who paid the price. If you desire to receive Christ in your heart today, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then this entire congregation will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. I'm not here to embarrass you or single you out. This is about you receiving a Savior, not doing something heroic or something that would make you afraid. The heroics were done 2,000 years ago on a cross. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ into my heart. Be the Lord and the Savior of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just simply raise your hand real high where I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. If you raise your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and never forsake you. We'll pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. My sin debt is canceled. I am brand new before you, and I am heaven bound. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.